Okay, good evening, everybody. We are 1 week away from Rosh Hashanah. So, actually, next week, there'll be no shir. We'll be the Yom HaDin, Day of Judgment. And the following week, I think we'll do Aseres Tshuva. Since it's going to be a break for Sukkot, we'll do something on Yom Kippur. So we'll finish up Shabbos over here. And then in 2 weeks from tonight, Mitzvah Shem, during the Aseres Tshuva, we will do something on Yom Kippur and then resume with Shabbos after Sukkot. I don't have to tell you, just before we start, that as we end Tav Shin Pei Dalet, actually I'll tell you something, B'Hashkacha, with Divine Providence, I'm about to finish Maseches Sukkah, Megillah. That was the last blot of Maseches Megillah. Yitz Hashem, I will make a Siyum on right at either Simchas Torah or right after on Tanakh and Megillah. As you know, I do the Tanakh every 2 years, so it's been a 12th Siyum on Tanakh. And I make a Megillah. The last daf of Megillah, last blot of Megillah, it says that talks about reading Parshas Kisavo, which I mentioned last week, right before Rosh Hashanah, in order that we should have the klalos, we should have the curses right before Rosh Hashanah. But you don't read it the week before Rosh Hashanah, 2 weeks before, because you don't want to go into Rosh Hashanah with the klalos, with these curses. So you want to be knowledgeable, you want to be aware, you want to be aware of the klalos, that life is serious, and that this Olam Hazeh is a great world, a beautiful world, but it has a purpose. And, you know, either we live up to it or we don't live up to it. And therefore, if we don't live up to it, there could be serious consequence to it. But at the same time, we want to go into the year with bracha, so to speak. But the Gemara then says it should be, when you come into Rosh Hashanah, it should be tichla Shana uklala sa, it should be the end of the year and all of its curses, and it should be taskel, the new year should be going with all of its blessings. So on a simple level, it's a little weird, because this year, we all know, was an extraordinarily challenging year. And, you know, I think I mentioned last week that, you know, going into this Rosh Hashanah, we have to be totally blind not to see that everything is on the line. Just, you have an election which is 50-50. There's no way, whatever prediction it is, no one really knows who's going to be the United States president. Israel could have all our war. Right now, the way it looks is things could calm down. I personally, you know, many people think they should totally uproot Hezbollah, but it could end up being a full-blooded war with Iran, and you know, Bezos Hashem, we would win that war, but there would be tremendous costs. I don't have to tell you, the dangers that is. This is one of the most armed armies in the world, which is ideological, and that's totally up in the air. The world economy is in the air. All the anti-Semitism is in the air. All of us have a certain amount of personal pekalach baggage that we need our own personal salvation. Every human being has that. You know, I've said this before, I'll reiterate this. Everyone has issues. Everyone, you're a rabbi, when you're a rav and you deal with people, you see, even the people who think have an easy life, nobody has walks in the park. Some people have more challenges, but nobody has a walk in the park. And everyone needs Yeshua. So all of us could understand that this year in particular, it's a tichla shnas v'kelas, we want year bracha. But what does it mean? Sometimes people have great years. They have good health, or, you know, and wealth, and they got married, and things are great. Why is every single year do we say the curses of the year should end and the blessings should begin? And I think one of the pshatim that I have always said, I haven't necessarily seen, but I think it's for sure true, is every year we have dreams, every year we have hope. And we get to the end of the year, you realize there's certain things we didn't do what we wanted to do. And the problem with the end of the year is you feel a certain amount of like, I didn't accomplish what I could accomplish, what I should have accomplished, what I wanted to accomplish. And there's a certain feeling of, you feel bad about it. And that's that you want to end. The greatness of a Shana Toiva is it's new. And, you know, as we come into Tav Shin Pei Hei, we're coming into a year where a lot's on the line, to say the least, for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people, for the world, and for all of us as individuals, for our families. But it's also a new opportunity. It's all of the things that we didn't accomplish this year, we have a new opportunity to do next year. It's all. I just was telling somebody their son had a challenging eighth grade, and I saw their son in a high school where I said, man, my son goes to, he's doing really well. And I noted, like, it's like when you start a new year or a new school, you have new opportunities, and we should be excited for the new opportunities of the year ahead. And we've been learning Shabbos for the past year, really, and it'll come as a schos for all of us. And part of our goals and dreams for Rosh Hashanah certainly should be to raise our bar and our Yiddishkeit and our Judaism and our Torah observance. And Shabbos is certainly a large part of it. So the good thing about what we've been doing, I cannot say it with 100% for all those who follow on live or listen afterwards, you have a big schus. I'm positive that all of us have picked up or thought about picking up our game of Shabbos, which is the source of all bracha, which we've been learning. And hopefully, and as I'm mentioning this now, as we go into Rosh Hashanah, part of our dreams, part of our vision for the year ahead is to have a higher level of Shabbos. On a personal level, you know, for the past year, I think I mentioned this, last Rosh Hashanah, we did not have the schos to hear Shofar. We have a 3-day Rosh Hashanah this year. You know, Thursday, Friday, going to Shabbos. So really, it's at some level a big schos, because when we start the year with a bang, you know, a Shabbos is a Rosh Hashanah to Shabbos. But last year, the first day of Rosh Hashanah was Shabbos, and we did not blow the shofar because of Shabbos. On the first day, we only had 1 day of shofar. And so it's a big question of what you do, and we're missing the shofar, and the post can bring down that you should, that Rosh Hashanah of Shabbos, you should be very careful about Shabbos and perhaps to add on to Shabbos. So I, for the past year, by the way, it was just 2 weeks after that, on Shabbos, Shmini Atzeres America, Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres in Israel, when that whole Hamas attack happened, I'm told, October 7th. So I've learned, my own family, we made a Kabbalah Bli Neder, which we've done for the whole year, since that Rosh Hashanah, to, and I'm sharing this for a purpose, I'm sharing this so that we will learn a safer of Hilchos Shabbos with my wife and kids at the table. Little halachas, borer, schitza, things which, you know, I may be familiar, but it's good for review. And for my kids, they're not so many different ages, they don't know all the halachas that well. And I can tell you that raised the level of my table for this year for Shabbos, and what you do for that 1 year is for the rest of our lives. Right, my children learned, that I reviewed, my wife reviewed, it brings up the level of observance. So next week we won't be on this class, we'll be in Rosh Hashanah, but I just want to just emphasize that we have a big schos that we've had this, and beyond davening for ourselves and the Jewish people in the world and realizing the importance of Rosh Hashanah, have dreams. It's a good thing, the new year ahead, it's new opportunities. There should be a new freshness that comes into it. And with that should be a goal, really, of a higher level, a higher darga, a higher madrega, a higher level of observance throughout. That's what life's all about. And certainly on our Shabbos observance. So we were doing last week, At Echad, and I think the Yetzer Hara were at such a high level, wanted to shut down the Zoom, for at least for me. So I did finish that one topic. I finished the recording. So online, if you didn't hear it, but we'll pick up where we left off in explaining this bracha, this tefillah, which we say in Mincha on Shabbos, which I mentioned. Mincha, we're filled with mitzvahs. We're at the end of Shabbos, we're a higher level after observing Shabbos. So we say At Echad, you are Shema One, and Rav Pinkus is explaining clause by clause, phrase by phrase, what we're saying. Tiferes Gedula. Now he says, great splendor, Shabbos, on Shabbos, is the Pe'er u'Gedula, it's the the splendor and the greatness. Every Jew becomes a higher level, a bigger person on Shabbos. Everywhere you go, there's a hierarchy, there's class levels, whether it's wealth, political status, whatever it may be in the nation. Some people are important, are affluent, are popular, and others are normal, not regular. You know, they say in America, Joe Schmo, you know, John Plony is in the Gemara, John Doe, you're a regular guy, a good person, regular person. Ashirim Vaniyim, there's wealthy and poor, Gibor Mechlashim, people are powerful, strong and weak, some people are Chachomim V'sichlam, some are extraordinarily smart, some are not as smart. Not everyone is equal. That one's the same. Sorry to people in California who have, you know, don't care about merit. They put everyone the same. Oh, the DEI folks, there's no such thing as, you know, I'm talking race or whatever, but just, yeah. So, v'adraba, bali amayla, and the truth is, in real life, bali amayla, muatimem, right? Most people are not going to be Albert Einstein or they're not going to speak like Bibi Netanyahu will speak in the UN this week. They have the ability to speak like that. Right? Most people are normal. But most people don't have great physical strength. Not everyone is a leader. You know, people, regular people. And that's the purpose for most. That's most people. But Kishabasa Shabbos, when Shabbos comes, V'yichudo Yisparach Mispashe B'kol, and the oneness of Hashem, it sort of spreads out. Then it doesn't make a difference who you are in this world. It's Hashem's world. When you're in front of Hashem, we're all ants. It's you don't look at, oh wow, that's a great, you know. Actually, I have to find out. So you had a person in the Knesset came to the show this week. I don't have the details of this, right? Oh, he's in the Knesset, or he is a congressman. Or this guy, he's a billionaire. Or do you know how brilliant this person? He got a perfect score on the SAT, went to Penn, and then left Penn because of the whatever, you know, whatever it may be. You don't look at, oh, wow, do you know this job? Look at his house. No, you're in Hashem's world. When Hashem is king, really, it's inconsequential. Malakal arts kavaydo. Vein chashivus el espalus elav isparach. And really, the only thing that we... And it's important at that time is to we should, so to speak, nullify ourselves to Hashem and we come close to Hashem. V'chol anyan ha'olam shebem shayne kol ish mizah shuvusim uvetelam. Everything else is it's nullified. It means we don't care. It's irrelevant when in the presence of Hashem, wealth, health. Right? Actually, we know, by the way, it's not his point, but after 120 years or in the world to come, the people very often who were on top in this world will be on the bottom in the next world, because they didn't use their opportunities correctly. They didn't. They had more opportunity. They had more obligations, and very often the people who were lower down, who were, you know, the quiet person, the stiller person, they're the ones on top. Because in the world of truth, it's not where you are in this world. It's what you do with what you have. It's what you accomplish with you have in this world, with your opportunities, with your background, with your head, with your life, what you do with your life. So very often, and obviously in the world to come, there'll be some of the people, great people in the world will be great in the world because they did fulfill their potential. But in this world, when you're around Hashem, when you saw in Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference. It's the great equalizer, Shabbos. Be'erach Echer, in a chshuv chshuv, it's a tiferes. L'klalas ha'uma she'en kamosa, shukulam, everyone on Shabbos is a king. Everyone on Shabbos is, so to speak, royal. V'ra'a kama she'davar l'maysa. Ha'ay she'benoeg she'ba'olam, b'sha'as su'udaso v'simchaso shal adam, nikarem oishu v'chashivaso. Ha'oyser, you know, it's sometimes usually by a wedding, so to speak, or a big meal, you can tell wealth, right? So an usher, a really wealthy person, makes a really big wedding, right? Kiyad HaMelech, that person's like a king. a va'ani, a person who's limited budget, you know, I don't know, every wedding is expensive. There's no such thing as a cheap wedding, so to speak. But when we say a cheap wedding, it's not astronomically expensive. It's just more affordable. Weddings are a Yiddish wedding, a Jewish wedding, just inviting very often in an Orthodox family the relatives. It's an expensive proposition. So you limit of all gam l'asher, even a wealthy person. It's a gvul of upper middle class, very wealthy, wealthy. Everyone has boundaries that they can afford, they can't afford. Or they won't spend the money, even if they're good for Yelan Mavakish Ma'aviv. Now if a child asks a parent, for example, Likaso Ezo Ma'adin Yakar, only the Aviv is a Yakar Midai. Very often if a kid asks for something expensive, you'll tell the kid, no, that's too expensive, I'm not spending the kind of money. So Omer Yel, to imagine the kid says, Ma'yesh, right, write a check. Write a check. Okay, it's too expensive. Give me a check. A little kid, 6-year-old, 7-year-old kid, 8-year-old kid. You don't have the cash. Give me a check. So the kid thinks, I have a check. The father says, foolish kid, check's only as value if the money comes out of the bank. The check gets deposited. It's not like, I can just give you a check for $1,000, $2,000. It has to be said with a check. But imagine the following thing. You had signed checks by the king, signed checks by the government. You just fill in the blank. You have unlimited checks. You have a check from the Yachul Lichet of Ezes Kohen. You could fill in 50,000, 100,000, 1 million, whatever it may be, whatever you need, without to worry about covering it. That's as wealthy as you can get. The Amen Zeh Mashu Karamaz B'Shabbos Kodesh. This. Hashem says on Shabbos, you don't worry about your Shabbos expenses. You spend your Shabbos, I'll cover it. Pinchas Chekim, Chosim Hashem Yisparach, Im Rashus Lirshom, you can spend. We know, the Talmud says, that when you spend on Shabbos, you do not lose out from. Spend on Shabbos, Hashem's, you want Hashem's check. V'nago Yisobi in Levush, Koyim us a Shavua, Now, by the way, you'll see this in particular. If you, in the old world, this is very common in, like, where there were manual laborers in Poland and in Hungary and Litva, Lithuania. But you know, very often in the Hasidic world, you'll see this today, that they were the work day closed during the week. It's, you know, the laborers, workers, certainly the agricultural world once upon a time. Or in the technology world, you dress casual today, whatever that means. Shemagia, Shabbos Kodesh, you wear a suit, or Chassidus, you'll put on a flak, or a bekesha, strimal, a hat, whatever it may be. And he says, look at it, you look royal. I mean, everyone's dressed like they're going to a wedding. Everyone should be dressed. You get dressed up on Shabbos. The ladies, of course, wear fancy clothes. Every lady wears fancy clothes. It's an amazing thing. You know, everyone dresses up. You know, it's the whole point is we're all royalty on Shabbos. We're all in the presence of Hashem. Actually, and I'll tell you another funny thing, Hashgacha. Tonight, I'm chazaring Shabbos with another Chavrusa. And we did Kuf Yud Gimel. I think it's Kuf Yud Gimel. Which is about dressing properly. It says that the Gemara says, based on the pasuk of Yeshaya, mechab dato, right, it talks about how you speak on Shabbos, how you walk on Shabbos, and how you honor Shabbos. The Talmud says you should honor Shabbos with the way you dress. You honor mechab dato, and you should dress. And I mentioned this person that my first Shabbos in San Jose, actually, it was August 2007, so it was 17 years ago, okay? August 2007. So I was looking at the crowd. It's much smaller shoulder than when we left. And everyone was so Shabbos thick. Everyone looked like they're going to the wedding. They don't. So I actually, it was the first thing I ever spoke about on a Friday night. We used to do Hilcha Shabbos. And I picked to do dressing up for Shabbos. So that was the first thing I ever did in San Jose. That first Shabbos was on this topic because it's important. Person should look when you come to Shabbos. How you look? How you dress? You come in. On Shabbos, we're all kings. We're all royalty, and we're in the presence of Hashem. And he says, look at the house of a chassidish shahan. Pinkus was not chassidish. Look at the chassidish shahan. Shakoshe, v'machta pshutas, shabash pshutas. A guy could be working, you know, you walk around Borough Park, they're walking around, you know, with shirts and this. Come Shabbos, shtreimel, you're wearing a bekesha with flowers, you know, like they have a flower pattern on the bekesha, on this silk garment, you know, the beard. He looks like a rebbe. An average chassidish guy dressed up all Shabbos looks like a rebbe, like an Amor. Is that why? Because Shabbos is Kodesh. And Torah some klizmam kush biyom levar sabara kechat tzaddikin. That's tiferes. That's splendor. Every Jew on Shabbos is a king. Every Jewish girl is a queen. And that's how we should live on Shabbos. You told you to talk chassidim. I was just thinking as I was reading this. When I was in the Mir yeshiva, sometimes I would go. Usually I ate in yeshiva. It's not 17 years ago. This is 26 years ago. So I was on yeshiva. I like to eat in yeshiva. But beres manim during the breaks, I would eat out, and you almost very often go to different chassidish homes. You go to Carl and Stolen, for example. You always get invited there, and you'd eat out. And these were many, very often poor people. And I mean poor, but they were happy. I'm serious about this, by the way. You would see their family dynamic, and you know, there are dysfunctional homes wherever you go in the world. I lived in those neighborhoods. I know there was dysfunctional homes as well, but the average family, I didn't care how poor they were, happy. You go to the house on Shabbos, you see a simple an apartment with 6-8 kids. It's poor, simple. And you get to the table, there's food on the table, and they're dressed up, mom is like a king. And you felt like their table, they were the king. They were, you know, the woman was the queen. You felt it at their table. And that's because that's the reality. We come to Shabbos every year as a king and queen, and we're in the presence of Hashem. And when you're at your Shabbos table, you are the king and queen. And we come to Shul, you dress that way, and you act that way, and you feel that way. That's what we say, Tiferes Gedulah, V'Ateres Yeshua. Now it's the crown of salvation. What does that mean? Hayoyishu b'Shabbos, next clause, Miskala b'Hayichud Amiti, Shabbos comes and reveals the Yuchud Ha'amiti, the true oneness of Hashem, Hare Zu Ayeshua, it is the salvation Mikol Tzaras. Kmo Shekasev B'Nefesh HaChaim, as we say in Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Gimel Perek Yudbeis, U'Be'emes, it's Nefesh HaChaim V'Lajah, the greatest student of the Vilna Gaon. So he points out in Nefesh HaChaim that the biggest school in the flaw, the biggest thing you could do to take off any negative judgment, so to speak, in Shammai, anything negative like that, but when I say negative, you're in a situation which appears to be dangerous, right? Which appears to be problematic. How do you go ahead, so to speak, and defend and be protected? You should think to yourself, Ein oid mavado. There is nothing else but Hashem. There's no koyach ba'olam. There's no force in this world. If a person, if they focus, by the way, the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin, the founder of the Volozhin Yeshiva, the greatest student of the Vilna Gaon, this is not his idea. He just brings it down. It's really a zayhar. The Rambam brings this down, the idea down in Mor Nevucham, but the surreal source is the Zohar. When a person totally believes and totally is cognizant, not 50%, not 80%, 100%, there is no power in the world but Hashem. Ein ol mavado. Only Hashem. It's only Hashem. Hashem is one in this world. Mavata belibo. And they think to themselves, Bitur gamav emashkir kalam shum koyach v'rotzen v'om. They're not worried about any human being, any person, anything scary, any gun. Nothing but Hashem. And they're 100% away. That Hashem makes it, that a person is protected from other negative forces in the world. By the way, the famous story that the Brisker of Volvol Soloveitchik, the son of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who was from the greatest sages in Israel after the Holocaust, who had the Brisk Yeshiva, was the Rav of Brisk after his father, died in 1917. So Revival Solidarity for Yitzhak Zev Soloveitchik. When the World War II started, when the Holocaust started, he was in Warsaw. It was by his wife's family. And he escaped through, got out of Nazi Poland into Lithuania, all the way into Vilna, eventually would get to Eretz Yisrael. He said that the whole time he was traveling through Nazi territory, he kept thinking Ein Am Avado. And there were a couple of times, and he was a great, great person. It's not... a couple of times he lost focus, and at that moment the Nazis stopped him. And he thought it again, and he got through it, whatever, almost stopped him, so to speak. Right? There's this koyach called Ein Am Avado. Therefore, what does it mean at Teres Yeshua? The more we understand that it's not the boss at work, and it's not the government, and it's not your neighbor, it's not cousin Joe who's a problem to you, you know, or the more we rely only on Hashem, the more cognizant we have of Hashem, we're not going to be the Briskerov to go through a Nazi area and think only Hashem. Most human beings would be very, very fearful and scared, and it would be very hard for them to focus fully on this in real life. But all of us, the Shabbos empowers us, recharges us, reboots us to know that really the real thing that matters and the only power in the world is Hashem. The more we inculcate that, more we embody that, more we live that, the more we have this reality. And therefore, Shabbos miskalas sod chiddush. Shabbos reveals us a sort of chiddush of ha'olam v'ayichud amiti, which is the yesod and makor of all yeshuas, of all salvation. What's the next clause? Avraham yagel, Yitzchak yiranein, Yaakov uvonov, Yaakov and his sons are yanuchubo. Yadua shemidas Avraham, the mida of Avraham, is chesed, right? Kabbalistically, we know in general that Avraham is represented by kindness. Ukedechsiv chesed l'Avraham, we actually say in davening that Avraham is chesed. V'hamuvon ha'poshet, and the simple understanding is Shekol Chai Avraham, the whole life of Avraham, Hayu Mlai Haslavos Echa Oilam Kulo Malach Chesed Hashem. Hashem Avraham lived with the reality that the whole world was Chesed Hashem. Be'oifen Muflog Ve'en Soifo Ve'ikra V'das Be'chaim Haisa, and his whole life was to follow in Hashem's way, to do chesed, but in the best possible way, just like Hashem constantly does chesed. He was so amazed. Avraham looked at the world, how every human being could see, could hear, could breathe, all of nature is there for a human to live in, and even though we're undeserving, and he's so focused on how every apple and how the nutrients and the look and the whole world, everything in the world, he saw the chesed of Hashem, he saw the kindness of Hashem, and therefore he went to emulate that kindness of Hashem. So Avraham becomes the Isha Chesed, where he chesed orachim, inviting guests, ubi'ikr ma'ashehichas anashim tachas kanshe fishchina. The kindest way to invite people in is to bring people closer to Hashem, like Avraham did. He didn't just feed their bodies, which is a tremendous act of chesed. He fed their souls. By the way, the ninth most important chesed, besides, is by people who need it, to give people to encouragement and sustenance. But on top of that is to build people. And the best way to build people is to give them a connection to Hashem. And Avraham had all kinds of people come to his house, all kinds of yidden come to his home, and he taught them where Hashem is. He taught them about Hashem. That's the chesed ha-godol b'yoyser. That's the best way to bring Hashem into this world. Very often, by the way, it's not just someone who's not observant or never had the opportunity. There are people who struggle in life and their faith is rocky or their life is rocky. If a person's lonely or sad or feels unloved, the possibilities of sin and just throwing in the towel, so to speak, are endless for such a person. When you invite a person to make them feel loved and cared for and purposeful, then you're giving them life. That's an Avram's existence. V'alken k'shabas ha-shabas, when Shabbos came, sh'azak ha-shabarchu karav yaisr la'alamo u'mashpia, and he gave chesed ba'mishabas. V'alken Avram ha-roi shef ha-chesed, Avram, when he saw chesed, is always, but supercharged chesed is on Shabbos. Sameach simcha g'dayla. Avram was ecstatically happy. Achasadim hamiuchadim habayim mikoyach Shabbos kodesh. The Avram was rejoicing. Look how much chesed is on Shabbos. Avram emulated Hashem during the week, but on Shabbos he really, really saw it. It was unbelievable the amount of chesed. That's what I say. Avram yagel. Avram rejoiced on Shabbos. What does it mean? Yitzach yanat, your honor, is also a form of singing. Yitzchak, by the way, we know Iker Yitzchak was Shiroz HaShlita HaMuchulata Shakarish Baruch Hu Ba'olamo. He knew that Hashem had total control of this world. Ve'ekshikochuki ha'teva shekoach ha'olam nivne olam olayo. Yitzchak saw the awe, was in awe of Hashem. He said the world was built on Yiras Shemayim, on fear of God, of awe of God. As the Talmud says, what does Talmud mean? It's not for right now. The Talmud says in Chagiga, Sha'oim de Shemayim, Hayarifi, the pillars, so to speak, of the world, obviously that little we're saying right now, was shaky. The world was shaky until Hashem screamed at the world. It was Gar Baham Hashem, Baruch Hu. Now we know, by the way, if there's no fear of God in the world gets destroyed. Nuclear war, destruction, mabul, deluges. So we can understand on a practical level. There's no fear of God. We're Lord of the Flies, right? You know, Lord of the Flies is the book. The world will self-destruct. But fear of God is what keeps the world on a material level. But here's something spiritually. Kohuki ateva, the spiritual world, will reflect in the material world. All of nature were built on reality. Physics is reality. Chemistry is reality. But it's there because of Yiras Shamayim. By the way, we know the time of before the flood, the world got thrown off. Even eventually, they had such a lack of fear of God that the world itself affected the nature, so to speak, of the world. But the world is, on a spiritual level, is based on Yiras Shamayim. Yitzchak saw that fear of heaven that's in the world itself. And the Beis HaMikdash, Shedarko Bashefa Chayim V'Abrocha Le'olam, we know in the Beis HaMikdash, which brought down the sustenance to the world, it was built on these two aspects of chesed, of kindness, and Yiras Shamayim. The Kohanim and Levim were there. There, for these two things, chesed and gevurah, Kohanim were chesed, and it says, Tumecha v'urecha al ish chasadecha, your urim v'tumim was on the person of chesed, that was the kohen. And the Levim were gvuro, which is strength, which is din, which is fear of God. V'amuvon, and it, to be understood, is kol shefa, all of divine sustenance, which waters the world spiritually. Or from comes from Hashem is chesed. V'amen klal gadolhu b'liyotzim in a klal, that whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu gives, okay, and if you don't reconnect it to Hashem, you don't say brachas, you don't say thank you Hashem, you don't recognize Hashem, it also causes distance, right? Whenever you give, a husband gives to a wife and she ignores him, or vice versa, it could actually cause a distance. Here I gave myself, I gave this, I provided. How do you not, right? You give someone, they ignore you, right? It causes a distance, or you don't recognize the person. We know there's estrangement in this American reality between children and parents. Right? And very often it's the most giving parents that this child gets estranged. What kind of craziness is that? Not for now. That's bad, right? For we want to be kirvas elokim li toiv. And that's gvuro. Shashum davar ein misnatek mishtrispas soisparach. Everything is under Hashem. We have to connect to it. Chazar zu b'kama ofram, but ikaru ach Hashem, ayedi ha'ida, either thank Hashem, right? Either thank Hashem, or you get Yisrim. A person can be punished, which we'll see in a second. Hodar kol kol pikon ba'almo. Misha maida al chayfetz pikon shushal chavero. Harezu b'shas balim. When you say thank you to somebody, or you appreciate them, what you're really saying is, this is really yours. You gave me this. Everything comes from you. I'm cognizant. This is your meal you gave me. This is your eyesight, your heart. You gave me life. You gave me, right? We're recognized. You gave me this food. We're saying a bracha. We're saying thank you, davening. We're cognizant. This is coming, right? Child says, thank you. We're recognizing where a person appreciates. Hakaras hatov, recognizing where the good comes. It really is from you. For who didn't copy Mala? When you sing to Hashem, when you praise Hashem, when you thank Hashem, you recognize it all comes from Hashem, you're giving it back. Even though it's in our possession, we're realizing it's all from you, Hashem. I know I'm in your world, Hashem. You're giving me this, Hashem. If you don't acknowledge where you get it from, you're not thankful to it. Well, you're not thankful for your sight. You're not thankful for your freedoms. You can lose them. You're not thankful for your Yiddishkeit. You're not thankful for your life. You're not thankful for your health. You're not thankful for your wealth. Well, maybe we'll take it away from you. You know, maybe you'll learn to be thankful. You'll learn to appreciate when you lose out what this is. That's what you assume doing to a person. You don't have this anymore. You didn't appreciate when you had it. Parnasa, wealth, health, it goes back. Choseres, you can lose it, so to speak. And if you don't lose it in this world, you get punished in the next. That's the ultimate loss. V'lezeh, bebeis ha-migdash, and the beis ha-migdash, and it's sha'imakom hamshachas ha-bracha, when you have the bracha in the beis ha-migdash, the place of greatest spiritual abundance, you also had to have the Kohanim and the Levim. The Kohanim brought down the chesed, all of the bracha, to the Korbanos, and the Levim, they went and they were singing to Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you for taking our Korbanos. Thank you for taking our service. Thank you, Hashem. Because therefore, the bracha stays. Because if you just get and you don't say thank you, you don't recognize where you get it from, it won't last. Right? That's what Gvura is. It will not last. Of lechen Yitzchak shemidaso haisav chanas vuroso. Yitzchak, who recognizes gvura, shal kadosh baruch hu shal kol tachas shlitas yiras shemayim yirana and dahainu shiro midaso shal Yitzchak, is to praise ulahalal ulahavir, and to explain actually how everything came from Hashem. Kishabasa Shabbos, and when Shabbos comes, we see Hashem more vividly. We're more cognizant of all the blessings we have. And therefore, everything's connected to Hashem. If we don't say thank you, it's going to go back. Right? Hashem gives it, but it's connected. And if we don't say thank you, we don't appreciate it, we can lose it. And therefore, on Shabbos, we have more singing. We sing Zemiras at the table. We say more davening Shabbos morning. Rina mikoyach, and it comes from Yir Shemayim, and from the oneness of Hashem, that's Yitzchak Yeranen. Yaakov, Avram, so happy for the chesed, look at all the great things, and Yitzchak sings more. We have more to be appreciative for, because we can lose it. Hashem, Yitzchak realized that. Yir Shemayim means, I fear Hashem, I recognize, I'm in Hashem's world. If He gave me something, I better say thank you for it, I better appreciate it, I better sing about it, I better, you know, imagine any parent, any boss, any king, any person who gives to you, and they give, you never say thank you, never appreciate it, you're going to lose out. And by the way, the biggest loss is not because you'll lose it, it's because the biggest loss of a child's in a connection to a parent is that they don't have a parent, that they have a connection. The biggest loss is if we don't recognize Hashem is that we're the losers, not just because we get punished, Chas v'Shalom, because we lose out the gift that we get. We lost the connection. It's not about the allowance. It's about the connection to Hashem. Then Atechat says, "It's Am Yagel Yitzchak Yeranin, Yaakov Ubanav Yanucha Bo." Yaakov and his children, we have Menucha. We discussed Menucha a few weeks ago. This rest, not a rest, a lazy rest, but the rest where we stop everything else to focus on the truth, focus on ourself. Midas HaManucha Atzma is Miuchas Yaakov. That's specifically connected to Yaakov. You know what? This is going to be a little bit longer. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to hold here of Yaakov HaManucha Bo. I will do this on Yom Kippur, and then we'll do, which will be relatively short, 15 minutes or so, and then maybe 20, and then we'll do a small thing on Yom Kippur, on Shabbos, or about Tshuva, during the week of Shabbos Tshuva. Now we can actually do some Shabbos on Aseret Yemei Tshuva, which is always a good idea, which we've been doing. It'll be a schus for all of us, and it will allow us to finish the topic in not a rush. So I just want to wish everyone a Kesiva v'chesima toiva. It should be a good given year. It should be a year where all of our dreams, all of our hopes, all of the Jewish people's dreams, all of the Jewish people's hopes come true. And it should be a year of Yom Shekula Shabbos, a year of all of Shabbos, where our Shabbos is expanded with Mashiach Tzikena, that we should be in Hashem's presence constantly and consistently. All of our tefillah should be miskabel, all of our avodah should be miskabel, all of our prayers, all of our service of Hashem should be miskabel, and should be a good gabbai shir for all of us. Okay, thank you everybody.